to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards, and broadcasting to you tonight, as I always do, from our flagship radio station, our studio here in Memphis, AM 1380 WLRM. We're also broadcasting to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online, thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com, where we welcome an universal audience. Let's just put it that way. It's been a good show so far tonight. It's going to get even better now. As we welcome back to the show one of my very good friends and a political cesspool throwback, a man who began appearing on this show from his very inception. You know, this we're in our seventh year of broadcasting now, and there's very few people on our roster of guests that we have been entertaining for all that time. But Bob Whitaker is one of them. We're very lucky to have him back on the show tonight. I'm going to read his bio for anyone who's not familiar with Bob's work, and I would find it hard to believe that that could be anyone listening to this show tonight, but he's got a good bio on his website. I'm going to read it straight up. Bob Whitaker has been there and done that in the world of politics. His unique perspective is insightful and vital. You may not agree with everything he says, but I think that you will guarantee that he will make you think. Bob Whitaker was born and raised in South Carolina. He attended the University of South Carolina and the University of Virginia Graduate School. He has been a college professor, international aviation negotiator, Capitol Hill senior staffer, Reagan administration appointee, and writer for The Voice of America. He's also written numerous articles and two books. He lives in Columbia, South Carolina now. And I want to let all the female listeners of this show tonight know that he is divorced and wildly attractive. That's his assessment. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Hey, man. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, we're doing good. It's been too long.
Yeah, well, that's because that idiot who runs the show.
Who's the idiot that runs this show? Hey, Nicole, could you pipe up Bob's volume just a little bit? Got our crack producer in Utah. On the case here. Hey, Bob, it's great to have you back. I was just letting people know before the last break that, you know, I'm embarrassed. It's been, you know, at least over a year since you last appeared with us, and we can never let that happen again.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you all right. You just sort of faded out there.
Okay.
I was going to say, I hope the kid looks more like Danny than like you.
Bob is referring, of course, to our daughter, and unfortunately, Bob, I can't say that that's the fact. If you look at a picture of me as a baby, and you look at a picture of our daughter, well, I'm going to just have to get you to make the comparison. It's really kind of scary.
God.
Really scary. Cool, but speaking of pictures, I'm glad you brought that up. Now, I don't have any baby pictures of me online, but if you want to see a picture of what I looked like in 2004, 7 years ago, right after the show started, I took a trip to the holy city of Charleston, South Carolina, and for some unknown reason, Bob Whitaker has a picture that he and I took together in Charleston in 2004 on his website right now at whitakeronline.org. WhitakerOnline.org. If you scroll down just a little bit, sort of middle of the page there, you'll see a picture of myself and Bob. There's a Confederate flag, and we're sitting there with two of our compatriots in Confederate regalia. And Bob, I can remember. Do you remember that trip?
Oh, yeah.
We closed down a couple of bars that week, if I remember correctly. You crashed at our little condo there.
You drank so much, you looked hazy to me.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And I remember exactly what you said about that picture we took. You said that you looked like the salty old war veteran who had just gotten busted down to private again.
Well, I had an ancestor who was a Confederate private. That's why I keep telling people, as far as I can tell from what people say, he was the only private in the entire Confederate Army.
I remember that joke now that you mentioned it. That's right. Every time Bob is on one, we might have to keep Bob for the full hour. He's just that kind of guy. Yeah, but every time you talk to a guy who talks about his Confederate heritage, my ancestor was, Robert E. Lee. My ancestor was a general. My ancestor was a cavalryman. Bob Whitaker descended from the only Confederate private in the whole army.
Right. Actually, he also deserted every year. So he'd go back down to South Carolina and plant. Then he'd go back down to South Carolina and reap. But they'd also always list him as a deserter. And then when he came back, they didn't say anything. So.
Bureaucracy
is more or less the same thing then as it is now.
We should probably get down to business at some point in this interview, but I would be more than content to spend the next hour talking about that trip we had in Charleston.
Let's get there's my Bugs crowd. Now, Bugs, can I just talk over a minute?
Yeah, just have a little porch talk here.
All right. Bugs. Started 12 years ago with just my writing some emails around to about six people. It's in the thousands now. I don't know how many. It's like reading tea leaves, but it's the website. It's WhitakerOnline.org. And what it is, what we are essentially is we have developed into a group of people who put the internet, fight it out on the internet, and come back and talk to each other. But basically, we're there. We're in action. Now, our basic weapon, what I'm doing is I've done a lot of debating in 50 years. So they use what we call the mantra in their argument. And now, let's see how I can introduce this best. There was a thing on the History Channel I noticed today where the historian, quote unquote, said that the Hadrian's Wall, the one in the top of England by Scotland. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening. Well, actually, Bob, now that you gave me a segue there, I hate to interrupt the savvy, wiser man, but we do have to take a commercial break. That's another thing that's changed since your last appearance. We got picked up by a network. Now we actually got to take commercial breaks, if you can believe it. We used to just hold court for 3 hours with no breaks. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Bob Whitaker, and he's going to pick up the porch talk here on the Political Cesspool. Stay tuned.
Way, there's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
When the truth is found to be.
Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Our featured guest this hour is my good friend and yours, Bob Whitaker. We spent the first 15 minutes of the interview talking about Bob's background and a trip we took to Charlotte. I don't want to get down to business. If you want to take a look at Four Handsome Gentlemen, go to WhitakerOnline.org, scroll down midway through the page. You'll see us there circa 2004. I was a young man back then, just getting my feet wet in the radio business. Bob Whitaker was a big help to this radio show and continues to be, and I want everyone listening tonight to support him. And my wife really loves Bob Whitaker. I told her that Bob was going to be on the show today, and she started doing cartwheels and backflips and all that kind of stuff. And she got to meet Bob. Now, she went on that trip in Charleston, but I think at one of the conferences y'all got together and met.
What I was telling about with Bugs. Oh, excuse me. With Bugs, which is WhitakerOnline.org now, we are demanding the right for white people to talk about white genocide. And we put it right up front.
Yeah, you cut through a lot of the politically correct babble, if you will. And if you want to go to Bugs, which is Bob's underground graduate seminar, 4 years of reading Bob's blog is going to be worth a lot more than any college degree, I can tell you that. WhitakerOnline.org/blog. And one of the things that anchors your work there, Bob, is the mantra. The mantra has really taken a life of its own on the internet. Tell people about the mantra.
Okay. What we're doing is, as you say, we're going, instead of talking about all the latest news and all that, we hit them with this proposition. Now, the reason, this sounds a little long, but remember, this is the product of many, many years of actually confronting the other side. And so what I do is I cover a lot of points that I know they're going to make. You know how they talk. And let me just read it off here. It says, Africa for the Africans, Asia for the Asians, white cultures for everybody. It is said that there's a race problem. They say this race problem will be solved when the third world pours into every white country and only into white countries. The Netherlands and Belgium are as crowded as Japan or Taiwan, but nobody says Japan or Taiwan will solve this race problem by bringing in millions of third worlders and, quote, assimilating, unquote, with them. Everybody says the final solution to this race problem is for every white country and only white countries to, quote, assimilate, unquote, i.e. intermarry with all those non-whites. What if I said there was this race problem, and this race problem would be solved only if hundreds of millions of non-blacks were brought into every black country and only into black countries? How long will it take anyone to realize I'm not talking about a race problem? I'm talking about the final solution to the black problem. And how long would it take any sane black man to notice this? And what kind of psycho black man wouldn't object to it? But if I tell that obvious truth about the ongoing program of genocide against my race, the white race, liberals and respectable conservatives agree that I am a Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews. That's all together in one word. They say they are anti-racist. What they are is anti-white. Anti-racist is a code word for anti-white.
Now, that is Bob's mantra, and that's something that should be repeated everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bob, I got to ask you about this. You had an incredible... Yeah, I'm talking about Bob cutting to the chase. He really cuts right to the meat of the matter. In fact, you had a blog entry this week, on the February 2nd, Fresh Meat. I want to read very quickly what someone wrote to you, and then I want you to offer your response to my audience tonight. They wrote this: "You, Mr. Whitaker, are a horrible human being. You've obviously had a very severely skewed view of the world. I know you'll delete this because none of you can stand hearing the reality of your hatred and ignorance. Am I white? Yes. Do I think I'm better for it? No. The quality of human life has nothing to do with race. As far as white country, you cannot be more mistaken. The original inhabitants of America were, of course, Native Americans," this writer opines. "Second, it was Africans who were brought here as prisoners, who settled first in order to tend land by wealthy European traders. And third, there is no plan to assimilate the white race, and this is because there is no such thing as a white race. The concept of race is false. You're all wrong, Bob, but just as the most foolish of men, you cannot bear to see the folly of your ways. You'll be much happier when you realize the world is for all people, and yes, we will all be brown one day. I hope your daughters marry black men. Bob, how do you reply to something like that? And what?
Well, if you're reading it off, you've got my reply right there.
I've got it, but the people listening around the world don't.
Well, you read it out, because I'd have to go all the way to Whitaker Online from here.
Okay, here's what Bob said. It's been years, Bob wrote, since one single anti-white has had the guts to take me on. This is the response I've been talking about for years. Number one, denying that there is such a thing as white people. Number two, screaming about how evil white people are. Number three, they justify genocide. Number four, they wish for genocide. And number five, they say that we should not be allowed to speak because we're evil. I defy you, Bob writes, to find anything else in this anti-white comment than the above points, which I've been describing for years. So it is interesting, Bob, the amount of hypocrisy that can always be thrown back to these charlatans.
Yeah, this thing was so, I always feel like I'm hitting a straw man because, like I say, you know, this whole mantra is rather long because it covers all of their standard arguments. Wham. And this fella doesn't even answer to, you know, he doesn't see all white countries and only white countries. They just, and so it was easy. You know, what I said was, please note that I am not hitting a straw man. These people really are this stupid.
And if you liked Bob's reply to that email that he received, which is posted tonight, again, at whitakeronline.org/blog, you'll love his books, most particularly his latest book, which, again, we keep going back to 2004, 2005.
Yeah.
It was released a few years ago, but it is just as timely now as it was then. It's Why Johnny Can't Think, America's Professor Priesthood. Now, Bob, this show has grown quite a bit over the years. Stands to reason we might have listeners out there now that didn't hear your original interviews with us. Tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, I used to be one of the priests, being a professor. And as I say, the basic point I make in the book, is that is what I think people are beginning to notice, even in these 6 years since that thing came out, that the kids coming out of college are being dumbed down. They can't think. They're basically being, like I say here, they can't think through the fact that all this immigration is demanded of white countries and only white countries.
Hey, Bob, hold up right there, my friend. Got to take one more commercial break. I know we only talked about having you on for 30 minutes, but I'd sure like to keep you for one more segment.
We'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody. Keeping Bob Whitaker over for one more segment. I hope he's been gracious enough to do that.
Yeah,
there he is. So now you know, we were talking right before the last commercial break about his latest book, Why Johnny Can't Think, America's Professor Priesthood. You can get it on Bob's website, WhitakerOnline.org, and I'm glad you can, because when I typed in Bob Whitaker on Amazon, I got back nothing but Bob the Builder. So you don't want that.
Oh, yeah.
Why Johnny Can't Think.
That's a long time ago, that book, and got off the time, so... you know, I've written books before, and they, you can tell. So its time will come, you know. But right now, what we're doing, what I really like on Bubs, WhitakerOnline.org, is that what we've got is a bunch of active people who are finding niches where they can throw the mantra in, demand that people talk about this genocide of the white race, and don't get off on side issues. And once they start doing it, it's a little hard to understand this mantra here that I read off, unless you know that it's a result of practice, you know, of arguments, of actually being at the front. You follow me?
I'm following.
Yeah. And so it's hard to sell to people but once you start using it, see, the people we're talking about are actually using it up front, and they've got it going in Iceland, and it's been translated to about 22 different languages now. And
wow.
You know, and we're insisting that that people stop screaming at us and that we be allowed to discuss this question. And you really can't talk about, so don't let them get you off on solutions, because first they have to stop shouting and discuss it.
Yeah, Bob, you know, you're bringing up a good point, and in fact, it's very timely this weekend. By the way, and before I move forward with this, don't forget, folks, WhitakerOnline.org. There you can buy the book, Bob Whitaker, been everywhere in American politics, all the way up to the very pinnacle of power in Washington, D.C. He knows what he's talking about. Buy the book, Why Johnny Can't Think, and go to his blog. Bob normally has
I'm more interested in him getting in there, actually getting active in the fight. Because it's funny, you know, it's being underground. It's kind of adventurous. Like the Soviets, they had the illegal publications called Samizdats. And we have to make the most of the time that they allow us to go on there. Like on Yahoo and so forth, when we post these things. Because those, you know, they'll be coming after us. They'll be, you know, openly cutting us off, just like, you know, Radio Free Europe was jammed. It's really exciting.
Yeah, it is. And folks, you need to go to the Underground Graduate Seminar, Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar. That's his blog. It's Bugs. You can link right over to it at WhitakerOnline.org. And there you will learn how to be active. As I was mentioning, Bob puts new articles up there about once a day, if not more, and it gets a lot of comments, and you need to join the group over there. Bob, we got about 5 minutes left. I want to let you just take it from there and run. What would you like to convey to the audience that we haven't covered yet, and what more will they find when they come to your website?
Well, I have what I call Porch Talk, which is from the, you know, back when we used to sit around and listen to the old folks talk. And a good part of our wisdom came from that. And I refer to a lot of what I say as porch talk, you know, mistakes I've made myself and how things got to be a certain way. And, well, you know what I mean by porch talk, don't you?
Yeah, only a Southerner would really understand what porch talk is.
Yeah. Well, that's why I don't like the idea of sitting around and lecturing people. I usually think something out in an article, and my articles are not long. They're maybe 400 or 500 words. And I hope that they make people think.
Well, they do, apparently, by judging from the comments, and...
Oh, man, my people have caught up. They're becoming pros before my eyes. They're getting on the Internet, and I don't want to tell you everything's going on, but we're all over the world now, all over the white world, anyway.
And we want you to be a part of it, too, ladies and gentlemen, by going to WhitakerOnline.org. You know, at the beginning of the... I guess it was late last year. It was in December, a few weeks ago. We did an online poll, and we asked, out of all the guests who have ever appeared on the Political Cesspool, who do you most want to hear from as we kick off the new year? And Bob's on here for a reason. that reason, people love him. They love his work. They want to hear from him. And we never need a reason to have Bob on, but it was good to know that even though we hadn't been on the program recently, that so many people follow his work, so many people remembered the interviews that we had conducted with him previously, that they wanted to hear from him again. That's when we're having him on. And, Bob, I'll tell you what, we need to make it a far more regular occurrence.
Well, that's up to the boss man over there.
Yeah, I'll have to...
I hear he's a real basket case.
I am a real basket case for sure.
Yeah.
I'll have to...
Try to put it to him right. Yeah.
I have to put my boss hat on and ask myself if I want to have you on. And I think I'm going to answer yes. So, Bob, listen, you're always welcome here, my friend. I tell you what we got to do. We got to get back to Charleston. We need to do a conference in Charleston. The conference in Charlotte didn't go so well this week.
Yeah, well, I'm getting old. I more or less stick to my place nowadays.
You don't drive down to Charleston anymore.
I mean, for a man my age to have something like this, bugs going strong. All these young people, taking up the fight.
That's right. You know, you're rubbing off on these folks, and you just got such a wealth of resources there available to them. I don't know if we've repeated it enough. It's only been about, I don't know, 35, 36 times, but WhitakerOnline.org. There you can link straight over to his blog, Bugs, Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar. You can read the mantra. You can get some porch talk. You can join in the debate and the conversation.
You can also get in there where the best part of it isn't mine. It's the comments that have developed, and there's a section. We're on comment 6 now. It's basically, it's people who are going out, fighting this fight out on the Internet and coming back and telling us what works.
Well, that's what we need to have, rather than just engaging in the endless debates and conversation. Although it's good to have a healthy exchange of ideas, you know, you go over to Bob's website and you're going to get put to work, and that's really where we need our people, what we need our people to be doing: taking action, fighting this thing in the court of public opinion, going out there and letting their voices be heard, and not just to the people who are already in agreement with us. And Bob Whitaker is leading the way. He's inspiring a lot of people. He certainly has inspired me, and he has left his fingerprints and mark on the evolution of this radio program. Without Bob's help back 6-7 years ago, things certainly might not have turned out for us the way they did. And I want to thank you for that, Bob.
Okie doke. Glad to hear it.
Well, listen, my friend, you take care there in Columbia, South Carolina. I'm sure some of my folks will be visiting your website tonight if they're not already there, and we'll be looking forward to the comments and your forthcoming posts.
Great. See you later, James.
Bob Whitaker, everybody. Round of applause. Check him out, WhitakerOnline.org. We started off tonight's radio program talking about the cancellation of the American Renaissance Conference, and we're going to end tonight's radio program with an update from the Dark Ages Conference that was held there today. I believe that was what it was called, the Dark Ages Conference. There were some people there that, even though they were discouraged from coming to Charlotte, even though the conference was canceled, they still showed up, and we're going to hear from one of them right after our next commercial break. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happened. I have no idea. And as a radio host, you never want to have no idea about what you're about to be talking about. You want to be prepared. But obviously, I'm not in Charlotte today. I'm not in the submarine. And so I'm here in the studio, and we're going to find out together how this makeshift conference that featured the Coalition of the Willing went off, and what was what came of that, and what the atmosphere was. Going to find out right after this, as the Political Cesspool concludes this evening here on the Liberty News Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
J. Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Been for the second week in a row, it's been a very busy and very unscripted program because of the chain of events that have happened in Charlotte, North Carolina. Tonight, we spent the first hour of the show discussing and sharing lamentations about that. Second hour, we featured Michael Gaddy and Sheriff Dennis Spruill out of Colorado, and you just heard from Bob Whitaker. Now, it wasn't originally planned for tonight, but we have with us a gentleman who was in Charlotte today and met with a group of people who would not be deterred. They had what Richard Spencer called the American Renaissance Shadow Conference. I believe, Andrew, y'all called it something else.
Yes, that's right. It's the American Dark Ages Conference or something like that, referring to the dark ages of free speech that exists in this country.
Well, obviously, that atmosphere is very apparent in Charlotte. And rather than focus on all the things that went wrong, let's talk about the one thing that went right, and that was the fact that the indomitable spirit of our people manifested itself within those that were in your party today. How did it all come together?
Well, I tell you, it's been a really amazing experience. You know, a lot smaller as far as a conference is concerned, very inspirational and motivating at the same time. I first heard word of this about Wednesday or Thursday of this week after the announcement that the conference was canceled. And it was Janelle Antis of Lighthouse Literature that really spearheaded putting something together and, did all the legwork and did everything that it took to really organize something. And it's been really great. We've had a number of speakers come out, including Paul Fromm, who headlined the event, and several others. People came out as far away as Portland, Oregon. I myself am from San Francisco. And some people, folks from Texas and Indiana, had driven 10 hours, one person 11 hours, to be able to make it to this conference today.
That is incredible. The fact that you knew the official conference was canceled. It was, people traveling into Charlotte, that was being discouraged. And still, people coming from literally as far as you can come on this continent and in this country and still coming just to break bread with one another, not knowing how many people were going to be there. And it's a great testament to the will of the organizers there. You mentioned Janelle, and I know there were a couple of others, to put this together and do the best you can with the worst deck of cards you could have. What took place once y'all got together? Obviously, Paul Fromm gave a speech. I understand that you gave a speech as well. What was the spirit of the people there? Was it downtrodden, or was it more effusive just because you proved to yourself that you will not be silenced? What kind of atmosphere could have been found there today?
I would say that there was a sense of militancy in the group there, and that there was a lot of anger and frustration directed at the mayor of Charlotte, who allegedly made sure that the Ameren conference was canceled. There was anger against so-called anti-racists, the anti-white advocates of Charlotte and North Carolina that have been harassing people here. And, there's a strong sense of anger about that. But at the same time, as you mentioned, there's that camaraderie of a group of people that were coming together, complete strangers from across, our homeland, and finding communion, sharing ideas, and really connecting with each other in a very close fashion and in a way that I think will lead to friendships for a long time to come.
Well, that's very encouraging, and I can't tip my hat to you enough for the fact that y'all did get together under these circumstances. What's going on the rest of the night? Obviously, people aren't in Charlotte now. There's no sense in going. But is the camaraderie and the fellowship continuing into the wee hours there?
There is. For most of us that have stayed for the evening, we've just completed dinner, and I know that there's going to be some nighttime festivities in the town of Charlotte tonight, and it's been a really good experience all around. This is my first time in Charlotte, and I'm from San Francisco, and it does really have a lot of great aspects to it, great architecture, and of course the Southern hospitality that's legendary was truly alive among the white folks that are around here.
Yeah, maybe just not in the mayor's office, but yeah, I was last in Charlotte in 2005, I believe it was. Very beautiful city. There's nothing that you can't deny that. I had a very good time there, and I hope that y'all will have a good time tonight as well. And I really appreciate once again that that this meeting was held and that people showed up to it in an unofficial capacity, and that I'm honored that we had one of the conferees of this Dark Ages meeting on the program tonight. Who else spoke there?
Well, there is Paul Fromm, who headlined, of course, talking about freedom of speech issues, which is very relevant, and especially as the situation in Canada and here in the United States as well. I spoke about political community and tactics and ideas and how to create more community service-orientated activism. And there were a few other speakers as well. There was a speaker who self-published a book analyzing the statistical rates of non-white crimes and since integration in the 1960s. And there was another speaker who wished to remain anonymous.
Well, that's very good, Andrew. And thank you again, my friend, for coming on the show and providing us with a little uplifting update that there are some people that won't be cowed, and there are some people that are going to fight and continue to get the job done against all odds. And we salute you, and thanks for giving us a little bit of a behind-the-scenes look at that which you had the opportunity to experience today.
Thank you. And spirit of resistance and rebellion to tyranny is definitely more alive than ever in Charlotte tonight.
Well, thanks to y'all. Thanks to y'all. And be sure to give my regards to the rest of your group this evening.
Will do. Thank you.
That was Andrew, everybody. He was an attendee at the Shadow Conference, if you will, the Dark Ages meeting that was held today in Charlotte in lieu of the official American Renaissance Conference. Paul Fromm headlined the event. Paul Fromm, of course, one of our very favorites, a good friend of ours, Canadian free speech activist. So it's good to know that Paul was there. And we will get, I don't know what more information there is to be had from the American Renaissance Conference. I think we've covered most of it, if not on the radio, certainly on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We encourage you to take a look at it tonight. And I guess that's it. We'll just see how Jared chooses to continue the fight. Certainly, I hope he'll pursue legal action in court, but that remains to be seen. But one thing that also needs to be reiterated, and I don't know if it should be, if it's necessary to repeat this, but I said it at the end of the first hour. I want to say it again tonight. Jared Taylor is a great guy. He's done a lot for our people over the course of the last 20 years, and the success of American Renaissance is due to the fact that Jared has led it very capably. This didn't work out well. You cannot win them all. Jared still deserves our support, and he will have mine, both publicly and privately, and I'm sure he will have those the support of those in our listening audience as well. And if you have not yet subscribed to the American Renaissance Magazine, I encourage you to do so, amren.com. Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. Support our radio program. Support Liberty News Radio Network. Support Sheriff Dennis Spruill, who is on the show tonight. Support Bob Whitaker. Buy his book. Listen, I tell you, you give me a blank check and I will spend your money. Not in a liberal way, but we do have a few, and I mean a few, very few, organizations out there that are fighting to restore the American experience and reclaim America's destiny. I just mentioned a few of them. And that's all I have time for. I'm getting a message in our ear from our illustrious board op that we are running out of time tonight. It always goes by too quickly. On behalf of the guests we had on the show tonight and on behalf of the entire Political Cesspool staff and crew, both here in Memphis and at our network in Utah, I am James Edwards, reminding you to live life the way we do, without retreat, surrender, or apology. God bless you, everyone. We will see you next Saturday. Another great lineup of guests forthcoming. Oh, Brother Nathaniel Kapner, originally scheduled to be on tonight, has been rescheduled to February 19th. A little programming note. Probably should have done that 3 hours ago. Gotta go, everybody. We'll see you next week. God bless you and take care.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.